So I have my recorder going. I'm gonna also do it on my computer as well.
Sounds good.
So I have my computer recording and I have my iPhone recording as well. Alright, so let's go ahead and get started. And for the consent form, did you consent for the Creative Commons or the second license, the one that gives full permission to the COVID-19 Oral History Project?
The full permission. I don't want anything to stay anonymous or anything like that.
Okay. All right, so let's get started. So we're going to start off with background questions. What is the date and time?
It is July 17th, 6:31 p.m.
What is your name, and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? For example,
I didn't know if you were going to read the what was in parentheses or not.
No worries.
My name is Kirsten Canby, and on a day-to-day basis, I plan weddings, I take care of two German Shepherds, and just kind of go about day-to-day life things, grocery shopping, all the fun stuff.
Okay. Where do you live, and what is it like to live there?
I live in Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's wonderful to live here. It's a really good town. I love being in South Carolina. It's been crazy recently, but a really good town overall.
When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? How have your thoughts changed since then?
I was initially concerned about just it being a virus in general. I didn't have overt concern as far as it making its rounds in the U.S. the way that it has. I knew that it would affect some, but I kind of thought it was going to be more kind of like a flu pandemic. I didn't think it was going to hit us as hard as it did. My thoughts definitely have changed. It went from, you know, it's bad and I hate that people are dying from it, and the general idea of it was just affecting older people to begin with, to now realizing that it's affected so many people and that it's definitely dangerous and worth something we need to take more precaution with.
What issues have concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think just how it's generally affecting everyday life for everyone, whether it be things like I'm going on regarding weddings or school for children or families being able to see one another and spend time with one another. Being in the wedding business, we have a floral shop on site, so even seeing things like on Mother's Day, people who had elderly mothers, they weren't allowed to go see their mothers for Mother's Day, too. There was a huge spike in floral orders to be able to try to somehow compensate for the fact that everyday life has been disrupted.
All right, so we're going to move on to the employment questions. how has COVID-19 affected your job, and in what ways?
It's heavily affected my job. Being in the wedding industry, it's caused many couples to postpone or cancel their weddings. It's cost people thousands of dollars. It's cost our industry thousands and millions of dollars. Vendors are being canceled. A lot of catering companies or venues have had to forced to shut down, not just temporarily, but completely, because they can't afford to pay the bills and keep the doors open. So I think the wedding industry as a whole took a really, really hard hit due to COVID.
Has COVID-19 changed your employment status?
It did temporarily. When South Carolina was under government mandates to shut down everything and not be in groups more than, I believe it was 10 and then it was 5, and we eventually did have to shut down. We're a private-owned venue, but once it was a government mandate for everywhere, then we did have to shut down, and I was furloughed for approximately 3 months. When everything opened back up, I was allowed to go back in and worked part-time, and now I have finally gotten back to full-time hours, depending on what's going on within the week.
What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly?
I think the main concern is the fact that people are having trouble staying afloat. I've seen it in my my business that I'm working at. I've seen it in neighboring vendors and venues, as well as just outside of what I do employment-wise, the economy as a whole. People are really struggling, especially small local businesses, to stay open and be able to pay their bills and keep their feet on the ground without support from their community. And it's not necessarily that this community doesn't want to support them. It's just that there may be rules in place or fears in place that prevent them from doing so. So that would be my general concern.
Has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know, and in what ways?
Yes, it's affected my husband's fiancé situation. He became an essential worker. He is an officer, so he was working longer hours. He's required to wear a mask immediately when he enters the building. He's required to have his temperature taken every morning before he gets to walk in, and has to wear a wristband to show to everyone else that he does not have a fever and he does not have symptoms. So that's affected his employment in that sense.
All right, so we're moving on to the family and household questions. Has COVID-19 affected you or your family's day-to-day activities?
Yes. So for me, it ended up affecting, my situation was to go to work and to go to the grocery store, to come home, to cook dinner. So for a couple of months, it was just me being at home and doing things from home. It affected my fiancé not being home as much because he was working longer hours. My father was an essential worker as well, so he wasn't home as much, and my mother was staying home. And then my grandmother, since she is older, she wasn't able to go out and be about as much as she wanted to because of the pandemic and the concern.
Mm-hmm. How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
I think I pretty much managed the same way. We didn't do the whole like hoarding before, when the pandemic first hit and everybody was in a panic. We got enough to get through the time that we felt that, that we would need to get through, but we didn't over hoard or anything like that. So overall, we made one or two trips during the whole, you have to have your note to be on the road to get essential items, but day-to-day activities within the home have stayed the same.
Has the COVID-19 affected how you associate and communicate with family and friends? In what ways?
I would say no, because I was still working for, other than that couple months that we were furloughed, I still saw the same people that I saw every day, and then my best friend doesn't live here, so I didn't see her to begin with anyway. Our communication still is via phone, whether it be call or text. And then I still saw my family face-to-face. If one of us felt kind of off that day, we stayed home. Mm-hmm. But that's no different than if someone, had a cold or a scratchy throat, you stay home and kind of wait and see where that's going. So I don't think it really affected how we associated or communicated.
What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
For me personally, it was just financial, and that being not just because of, employment status, just the fact of because we were furloughed or this and that and the other, being able to maintain the same amount of what we wanted to spend on groceries or to take care of bills and things like that. So that was the biggest concern for me, as a personal concern.
What have you and your family and your friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
We relied on a lot of family dinners. So, and since we couldn't go out to dinner, or we couldn't go out and do as many activities, we've turned a lot of movie nights at the house, or we're going to cook out, everyone come over, and things like that. So that's become our time together. Same things that you would do out in public, but just at home.
All right, so we are moving on to the questions about community. How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community?
I think it's affected our community very, very hard. So our Spartanburg has some of the highest case numbers. We're reaching over 1,000 cases a day on some days being diagnosed in our upstate area, and that includes Spartanburg, Greenville, all that kind of stuff. We actually have a correctional facility down the road from where we live, not the one that my husband works at, but a local one that they have multiple inmates who are being diagnosed with COVID, and it's become a huge political thing here. People are saying, you know, going into rallying that even though they're inmates, they still have rights because they're not being properly treated or taken care of, and it's just spreading rampant throughout the correctional facility. So I think it's had a really large effect on the community.
How are people around you responding to the COVID-19 pandemic?
We've had a pretty good amount of calm. You have a couple of people who are more panicked than others, but we have a pretty respectful mask population. We don't have people who are overdoing it or things like that. I think they're responding well.
Have you seen people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities, or relationships to the pandemic in response to the pandemic?
I think the biggest change that I see for people is people who may not have been generally as concerned into where they maybe do wear masks more often or they wash their hands more often, but not a major change, no.
Self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, your family, friends, and community responded to the request to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
We completely self-isolated when that order was issued. We went nowhere for a really long time. I think we took 2 grocery trips, and that was in mask and sanitizer after everything was touched and all that fun stuff. So that's, you know, while we weren't possibly making the biggest effect, it was our part in helping to not spread.
Has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and community?
I don't think so. I think it adds a little bit more stress on everyone. People tend to get frustrated when you do have to go out now because things have changed so much. But I don't think it's changed the relationship. It's just added more stress to everyday life.
All right, so we're going to move on to the health questions. And I didn't state it before, but if you do feel like uncomfortable with like these questions, you don't have to answer them. Have you or anybody you know gotten sick during COVID-19? What has been your experience in responding to the sickness, if anyone has?
Yes, actually ended up getting it and had to self-isolate in their home for the 2-week period. And there was no face-to-face involvement during that 2-week quarantine, and probably actually a couple days after that 2-week quarantine due to, you know, them both having that.
In what ways do you think the COVID-19 is affecting people's mental and or physical health?
It affects their physical health in the fact that it literally drains you. I mean, getting up to walk from the bed to the bathroom was enough to just be enough energy for them the rest of the day. They spent the full 2 weeks in bed. And so that in turn helped with the mental health. It makes you depressed. It's no different than when you can't go anywhere or do anything, so you spend all day at home, you tend to get depressed.
All right, so we're moving on to the information section of the questions. What have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
I think a variety. Just being as honest and transparent as possible, being a Southerner, I tend to lean away from more of the left-geared news sources and go towards the right-geared news sources. But I don't think either one is overplaying the safety measures that you need to be taking. So whatever was providing the most information on how to protect ourselves as well as to prevent the spread to other people has been where I'm relying most on my news.
I think you pretty much answered the second question here when you talked about the news sources. So I think we can Do you want to skip that?
Yeah, I think kind of answered that one.
What do you think are important issues that the media may or is not covering?
I think they're covering everything in general as far as like the big topics, but I think as we're going to see more and more, as you know, as we're coming into testing, we've seen a lot of new things kind of popping up on the minor radars of news sourcing on whether or not some of these tests have been getting false results. So we've had several people in my county or South Carolina in general who went to get tested and signed paperwork, but then decided, oh, line's too long, we're not going to stay. But then a week later got a positive confirmation for COVID in the mail, but didn't get tested. So I think that's the whole, like, not necessarily a government conspiracy, but just maybe pranksters or whatever. I think that's going to be coming up on the radar soon, is because people prey on weak during this time period. It's how it always works. I think that's going to be an issue that's going to hit the media soon.
All right, so we are at our last section of questions, and they pertain to the future. Has your experience transformed how you think about family, about your family, friends, and community?
Absolutely. I think it's, even though I don't have children, it almost instills a parental viewpoint, as you feel the need to be protective of everyone around you. So you stop and you think, you know, maybe when you have a cold, you think, oh, I'm just going to go out, it doesn't matter. But now I have the mental process of thinking, okay, well, I have, she has asthma and she has lung issues. So I would hate to know that someone would be as blatantly disregarding as to go into public knowing they were sick and not be mindful of her and people like that at home spreading things around. So for me, I think of myself in that situation and others. So even though I'm not crazy about wearing a mask, it's hot. We live in South Carolina. It's 95 degrees every day. I still wear the mask because I would hate to know that I was not thinking of someone else's family member and be the cause of their child or their elderly grandmother or their wife or husband getting sick. So I think that's changed my view in that point.
How has this pandemic compared to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
It hasn't. There's nothing to compare this to. Immediately when it happened, everyone started comparing it. Oh, this is going to be like swine flu. This is going to be like bird flu. And it's not. Swine flu and bird flu was something that for a month people talked about and then kind of died off in the media and in middle school kids cracked jokes about. And this has been truly a global pandemic and nothing like we've ever seen. So I think it's definitely historical as how we're seeing it. It's not something that my generation has had anything to compare it to.
What can you imagine your life being like in a year?
I definitely think we'll still be taking precautions, maybe not as to the extent that we are now, and maybe not being as, you know, on top of things as we are now, but I do think that you will have some businesses that say, hey, you know, let's just keep it some of these precautions in place to prevent anything like that. And I don't think if a vaccine or anything like that has not been established for the said virus, and I don't think everything will have gone back to normal, and there will definitely be some changes that we follow. I think people will still be wearing masks just out of whether it be fear or precaution, things like that.
What do you hope your life will look like?
I hope life will, you know, go back to the quote-unquote normalcy that it was. I really hope that we don't have to worry. Everyone tends to get worried in the fall and the winter about flu season. So I hope, my biggest thing is I hope that we don't end up with a situation to where we have to worry for years to come about not only flu season, but about COVID coming back every year during certain colder seasons and hitting hard and continuing to be a virus that's around. I would love to see that eradicated.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I think it's something people need to stay ahead of. We said for weeks, even when it first, you know, hit the radar, it's like, this may possibly be an issue for the United States. I said, as if we need to get ahead of it before it's an issue, we need to make sure that we're not waiting until it's too bad and things have gone too far to be able to get ahead of it, because then you can't get ahead of it. You're always going to be one step behind and saying, oh, I wish we had. So I hope that future generations, or even a couple years from now, God forbid something were to happen, people immediately take action instead of waiting around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that concludes the questions. And I wanted to say thank you for taking the time to answer them. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording.
Okay.
At the moment, it is 6:51 p.m.
Perfect.